Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Tai, and in for Greg Matzik, it's Adam Roberts.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. Have you ever witnessed a crime?
Probably a smaller one, mostly to the effect of, and I'm not saying that smashing a window and trying to steal something is a small crime, but I've witnessed that before.
Did you do anything about it?
I did call it in because that car, now that I'm remembering it right, was my car. So that was back when I still drove a Chevy Cobalt. Yeah, someone smashed it, ran out, saw them run off, and yeah, called it in. Didn't get much of a response. It was a lot of the, we'll let you know, and that was pretty much the end of it.
In all of my years, waking up so early for about 20 years of morning television, I've witnessed a handful of interesting things in those dark and early hours, including a wrong-way driver as I was heading into work, and also a hit-and-run at one point. And I did call both of those in. But the reason that I ask this is because, would you ever think about just popping online to report a crime? You can now do that, and we're going to talk about that coming up with the Milwaukee Police Department. But first...
And now it's time for Three Big Things on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, the stakes are high in the federal case against Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan. It is now day three of testimony. One of the witnesses who's already taken the stand today is Milwaukee County Chief Judge Carl Ashley. He's been a judge for 26 years, and he oversees the judges in the county. So that's his job. Chief Judge Ashley testified that upon learning of the arrest plan, he told the agents he didn't think there was anything he could do to stop them from making the arrest. But he did ask that the arrest happen after the hearing. Something else the jury saw today, a policy the chief judge was creating on ICE activity in the courthouse. It was not official yet, just a draft. Part of it said all employees must inform managers of ICE activity at the courthouse. The supervisor judge will then notify the chief judge. So this has been the time typically where the jury is just coming back from lunch, just kind of getting resituated. But actually, they had lunch a little bit earlier today, so they are back on. And the prosecution just called Eduardo Flores Ruiz's attorney. So that will be very interesting testimony.
Definitely considered a key witness going into the trial. Number two, a big day in Port Washington today. Officially groundbreaking has begun for an AI data center in that city. Broke ground earlier this morning as part of a ceremony that's a Vantage data center that is planned for the community. Meanwhile, pushback remains strong against this project from several in the community and in southeast Wisconsin. And it now has led to a possible recall of that community's mayor. A group called Great Lakes Neighbors United officially announcing on Tuesday it submitted paperwork to initiate a recall process for Port Washington Mayor Ted Neitzke. Neitzke putting out a statement response on the city's website, in part calling the effort, quote, rooted in misinformation. This story has been a focal point in a lot of high emotions recently in that community. Recently, you may recall Neitzke was on WTMJ Conversations last Sunday. This was before the recall effort was formally announced. He was asked by Libby Collins about his political future in the city and said he was unsure if he planned to run for office again.
Port Washington is the epicenter for a whole regional, statewide debate and discussion. You know, I learned a long time ago you can't shake hands with a clenched fist, and I'm just going to continue to work to build people's awareness and make sure they understand what's going on and be patient through the process and ask others to do the same.
The debate over this data center included three arrests at a common council meeting earlier this month. Also, comedian Charlie Behrens has voiced his opposition to this project, which caught a lot of people off guard. Organizers to recall the mayor must collect signatures equal to a quarter of ballots cast in the 2022 gubernatorial election. So for Port, that's roughly 1,600 signatures. And organizers must do so within the next 60 days.
Number three, the Treasury Department just unveiled more details about Trump accounts. Those are the investment accounts parents can set up for their kids. CBS's Michael Wallace has the details.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says parents can go to TrumpAccounts.gov to get started.
Our president is putting the American dream within reach of every citizen, no matter the circumstances of birth.
The government will seed each account with $1,000. Families can start making their own contributions in July. President Trump has also teased the idea of one-time $2,000 rebate checks to families using revenue from his tariffs. He may mention that during his address to the nation tonight. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Speaking of the president's address to the nation tonight, you can hear it live right here on 620 WTMJ, starting at 8 tonight. It's 1:15. Welcome back, everyone. It's 1:17. The Milwaukee Police Department has launched a redesigned website. It's aimed at improving transparency, access to services, and community engagement. I popped on the new website as soon as it was announced to check it out and basically to see if you at home would care about the changes. And I found a lot of information and some important tools that I think the public should know about. Sergeant Corney Hill with the Milwaukee Police Department joins us live to highlight some of those. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So right on the front page, in fact, I've got it pulled up here. If you scroll down just a bit, there's a spot where people can file a police report online. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised about that because most people think, okay, if I see a crime, I'm going to call the police department. But this is really handy. Doesn't mean you can report every crime online. So what types of crimes can you report on the website?
Yeah, there are typically crimes, you know, like a burglary. A garage burglary is exactly, to be exact, some thefts and, you know, some minor crimes where there isn't any information on the suspect or there's no video. So there is a criteria there, you know, where you can file this. Normally, I believe the price value is $2,500. And it's a whole process and it'll guide you there. And we did have that on our other website, but I know most of the stuff, you know, was kind of hidden in it. And it's just the way that it was set up. This website really does highlight some of these things that we do have available for the public.
It's so true. This specific one, it's right on the website now. You see it. It's apparent for people. I think people who didn't realize where it was hidden before are going to notice it. What happens behind the scenes if I go online and report that I just saw? I guess I couldn't do a car getting stolen because that would be over the price value that you just gave. But if I saw a crime that I'm able to report online, like what is the next step behind the scenes? Who's actually monitoring those and going through them? And can you get a report taken care of as quickly as if somebody just calls?
Yeah, no. So this does not replace 911. This is just for someone that needs a file, a police report, and needs a police report for some of these things that are eligible for this online reporting. So you would just be guided into entering all the data that, you know, and the information into this form per se that pops up, online form, and then it would be submitted. And if you know, there's someone in our records division that monitors and reviews all these reports. If there isn't, if it's something that, you know, that's missing, they'll send it back to you or they'll tell you, no, you can't report this online. You're going to have to call or go into a station so that someone does review all of these.
But could this help even non-tangentially with speed of response? Because you mentioned garage break-ins as an example of something that you could use this for. I had a garage break-in happen to me. Actually, it was during my wedding while I was out of town. Someone broke into my garage and stole my bicycle. And I remember thinking at the time, okay, I'm going to go through the steps, but I am already anticipating this could take a while to get a response. So will this help even just a little bit in that regard?
It would help because, you know, the goal, ultimate goal is to not have to respond to some of these calls, right? Which then, you know, in hindsight, it should open up for officers to respond to other calls that might have a higher priority or have other information that we have to gather, like video, for example. You know, if your garage burglary had video, you wouldn't be able to report it online. An officer would have to come so they can collect that evidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain things with it. But yes, in hindsight, it should help speed up the process for other things and for some of those things that you might be waiting for then because they are a lower priority, right? It's not a crime in progress. You can get your police report filed and you can start doing what you have to do to, unfortunately, you know, move on from the situation and see how you can see what you can recover.
The new website introduces an interactive district map, and I was checking that out. I really like this because I think it's important that people understand a little bit more about their neighborhoods, where they live, right? And it has a little history that goes along with it, too. More information than I was expecting, I guess, to see on the police department's website. Why do you think this interactive district map is important on this newly redesigned website for the MPD?
Well, for me, one of the best features that I have, and I know this is an upgrade because our original website actually had this too, but not as nice.
It was totally different. This is interactive.
It only showed you the district boundaries, right? But I think it's still important because you get a lot of residents in our community that don't know what district they belong to. And, you know, this can help them. And like you said, it's got a little history thing. It really pops up. And when you hover over like an address, it shows you what district it is. And the other one, you had to like zoom out to see what district you're in. And so it's really, I really like that feature. I could tell you when I have some of your colleagues from all over and they reach out to me about knowing something that asking about something that's not in our city, I always refer them to that.
Oh, that's not in the city. I thought you were going to say they don't know. You know, I mean, Milwaukee's a big city, so we've got all the different districts. I can understand, especially somebody new coming to town, he doesn't know all the districts, but oops, not Milwaukee.
But I always refer them to that map. But it's a helpful tool, right? And it helps me because I don't get an extra inquiry of something that's not in my city, you know, because there are little cities that interact, you know, intertwine with us, especially on the boundaries.
How big of a lift is it to completely overhaul a website? Because I know I've seen, not in Milwaukee necessarily, but other municipalities where their main website looks like it's a relic of the Space Jam era in some cases. And so I know that there's a team working on this. How big of a lift was it to get this very objectively sleek looking website going?
Well, you know, I will say that, first of all, I want to thank the Phoenix investors, Frank Camvillo and the Phoenix investors that provided funding for this website. They helped us, and we got connected with an agency that helped us create this website. I could tell you that I worked hand in hand with them, but you know, it was their creativeness that really put this together. And also, we had to work with the city ITMD to ensure that it met the guidelines, you know, and it was compliant with all the things that a website for the government has to be. So it was a long process. You were working on it for quite a while. And then, you know, sometimes some of the information gets stale, especially, you know, we were talking about promotions. People get promoted, retire, or reassign. And then we have to switch up our org chart.
By the way, if you want to check this out yourself, you can go to the website. It's mkepolice.com. Or if you just want to Google Milwaukee Police Department, you'll see it. You'll see it pop up there right now. I feel like when something like this happens and there's a lot of effort put into something like a new website or a different resource, people are like, who paid for that? Did taxpayers pay for that? In this case, the answer is no, correct?
That's correct. In this case, we had, you know, the Phoenix investors, they fully funded this website for us.
Do you guys, I'm curious, because there's so much information on here and you can go through and you can look at, I mean, there's a spot for engagement, education, recruitment. You can also go and look at stats. There are a ton of statistics on here. You have annual reports, 6-month reports. There's a lot of data. Are you guys using artificial intelligence over at the police station at all? Maybe with the website or in other areas?
No, we're not using it on the website. I think that's something we're still exploring, but we don't currently have anything that I'm aware of that has AI.
Well, it's interesting. As soon as you do, let us know because we want to chat about that because I feel like every field these days is starting to use, even here, we're starting to use AI in a big way, and I think it is changing things. Sergeant Cornejo, we appreciate your time. As always, it is a slick looking new website, and it's packed with information. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Feeling much better out there today.
Yeah, I took a late morning walk before we went on the air. I said it earlier, if it's a day where you feel you need to get some serotonin and just break through that seasonal affective disorder we get when it's cloudy every day, today's the day to do it, and especially with what could be coming tomorrow.
It is mostly sunny out there. Let's check in with Chief Meteorologist from TMJ4, Brian Nisnansky. Brian, did you wear the sunglasses into work? Or are you headed there soon?
Yeah, no, I did, and needed for sure. I mean, you get the reflection of the snowpack, and you get a, you know, obviously bright sunshine, and it's definitely a must for today. It feels great. Adam brought up a good point. I mean, take advantage of these days when you're able to get outside, go for a walk, get a little exercise, and yeah, a little bit of sunshine this time of year helps too.
One of the first things I noticed when I was pulling out of the garage this morning, all of the melting, everything was wet. I thought, oh man, we've seen a lot of melting, and that was early this morning, so I imagine that's just continuing. How much is the sun and our higher temps helping?
Yeah, I mean, and we're overachieving with temperatures right now too. I had highs like middle 30s in much of the area, upper 30s into the lower 40s, and a lot of sunshine, and yeah, that's going to knock down a lot of our snowpack here. Over the next couple of days, my gutters, and I can hear the drains on my house, you know, just a lot of the pitter patter. And even sometimes I'll hear like a big shuffle, which is probably like a clump of snow falling off the roof and stuff. So yeah. And I'm sure that's the case for many of you, across southeastern Wisconsin. Be careful. Like if you're around the yard, like don't be hanging out under those big icicles that could come crashing down. That would be a bad scenario. As I mentioned this yesterday, too, it might be a good idea if you have the means, obviously, if you're not comfortable doing so, and I don't want to put yourself in danger, but if you want to clear some of that snow away from the gutters, that will help out some of the damming that we had over these last couple weeks.
You make a good point, Niz. Maybe jumping ahead a little bit in the storm team forecast, but I do know after this stretch where we're going to be above freezing tonight and then starting the day warm tomorrow, but with rain on the way and the melt we're seeing, and the fact that on Friday the high is only going to be 24, there will be a freeze, and any standing water you'd have to expect on the roads or elsewhere, sidewalks, etc., it's going to suddenly freeze pretty quickly here.
Yeah, I think even the concern maybe tomorrow evening, I think temperatures drop quick enough. However, I think there's also going to be a decent amount of wind tomorrow evening as we dip below freezing. So a lot of times what happens is that all the wet pavement, all of the standing water dries up a little bit. But certainly some slick and slippery spots possible tomorrow night. Another thing that I'm watching, I was actually discussing with some meteorologists with the National Weather Service about this this morning, and there's some potential tomorrow afternoon. Some of the models are picking up on it that as we get into some of that colder air, there's enough what you call kind of convection, some of the same things that initiate, you know, vertical development for thunderstorms, not expecting thunderstorms or thunder snow, but we could see enough convection with any snow showers that develop tomorrow afternoon. There's enough shear that we could get some heavy bursts of snow with some scattered snow showers tomorrow afternoon. Not like a major snowstorm, but you've heard the term snow squall. That was being thrown around this morning, not saying it's going to happen, but we'll just have to keep an eye on any snow showers that develop tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening after the cold front passes through. Most of us, this is just rain starting tomorrow morning and lasting through midday. And then the cold air pools in here tomorrow afternoon and evening, and watch out for those snow showers.
Well, you said we're not going to see it, but for a moment I got excited when you said thunder snow, and I was ready to like bust out a sound effect for you. Why do we all get so excited about that thunder snow?
Well, it's unique. It's super cool. Obviously, most of the time you attribute thunder and lightning to warm weather, and those processes to charge up the atmosphere and to charge up those clouds can still happen. It's tough this time of year because you need that vertical development, and it's harder to get the vertical development when the sun isn't nearly as strong as in the spring or the summertime. But if you get convergence, enough shear, enough everything else, and it's possible to get at least some convection going, which eventually, yeah, could lead to thunder snow. I don't think we get there tomorrow, but what we could get is these fast-moving, but very heavy bursts of snow. And if we see that, then, if it's high enough of a risk, that's when the National Weather Service starts considering those snow squall warnings, which typically, again, it's not the amount of snow. You could literally end up with a half inch. But if that half inch happens in 5 minutes, that's a big problem on the roadways because the roads immediately become slick. Visibility goes down to zero, and we've seen some of our biggest tie-ups in southeastern Wisconsin, 41 rings a bell, where it's not the amount of snow, it's that really quick, heavy burst of snow that causes major issues.
Before we let you go, also want to ask about the weekend. I feel like this is going to be a busy weekend for a lot of people. It's the weekend before Christmas. People have stuff to get done. Maybe they have some early family celebrations. We also have the Packers-Bears game, Chicago, Saturday night.
Yeah, and the weather overall looks good. I mean, we don't have any big storm systems, and You know, we're kind of in what's called a zonal pattern here, where you get little brief spells of cold, but then you bounce right back up. And in fact, temperatures overall look pretty average, if not a little above average, all the way through Christmas time and maybe up until New Year's as well. There will be a couple days. Friday will be one of those days that it's colder again. And then you work your way back into the 30s, and then it looks to be colder again on Sunday. Definitely more of a typical early winter pattern, where you're not seeing the stretches of 20 days, you know, below freezing like we just had. So it definitely looks a little bit more common for our weather.
We always appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much. It's Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky over at TMJ4.
Sounds good. Adam, Jessica, have a good one.
You too. See ya. It is 1:44. We're back after this. Well, we've already had a heaping helping of Arctic weather. With the warmer temps today, might be a good time to prep your vehicle for the next batch. In this month's Driver's Ed with Debbie, we find out AAA's essential tips.
Did you know that your car battery can lose more than half its cranking strength just by sitting out in the cold?
At 32 degrees, at freezing, your battery is going to be about 35% weaker than normal. And at 0 degrees, your car loses about 60% of its battery strength.
That's the kind of drop that turns a well-behaved car into a stubborn popsicle. And it happens more often than you think. The AAA's Nick Jarmus.
The biggest issue that we see during wintertime is dead batteries, hands down. That cold reduces its power just enough that it's not going to be able to turn over.
So what's a conscientious driver to do? Nick says the best thing you can do is test your battery before the temps take a nosedive. And if it's older than 3 to 4 years, maybe get it replaced before trouble leaves you stranded with icicles for fingers. And I think it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, EV drivers are not immune either.
You still see that same impact of cold weather reducing your range. Those cold temperatures will negatively affect how many miles they can go between charging. So it's just kind of a fact of life for being a driver in a climate like this.
So whether you're running on gas or electrons, winter takes its toll. Let's take a look at other things that you can do to prepare. Along with a general selection of blankets, boots, and snacks to make sure is in your car, Nick says these are important even if you're just running errands. But there's one item that's surprisingly underrated.
A really high quality brush and scraper. And it is so important to clear that off completely. You know, not just give yourself a little porthole to look out. You want to get any snow that's built up on the hood of your car, on the roof of your car, so that it's not blowing back onto the windshield for you when you're driving or onto the windshield of the people behind you. I recommend getting a telescoping brush with a long reach.
So then what if you get stuck? What are some of the first things you should do?
Just assess your surroundings. If you're off on the side of the road, you want to make sure that you're as far away from the travel lanes as possible. If there's not a lot of other traffic around, you can get out to check to make sure that your tailpipe isn't blocked so that if you keep your car running to stay warm, you're not allowing the exhaust to back up into your vehicle. Calling for help, probably the safest place is going to be in your vehicle.
Yep, being protected by your car's body is always better than hanging out outside. Plus, it's warmer. And don't forget your tires. Your baby needs shoes, and keeping them inflated is super important from both a safety perspective as well as an economic one.
It's going to help your vehicle have the best traction possible. It's also going to give you better fuel efficiency if your tires are low. And then it's also just bad for your tires and is going to negatively affect the health of your tires and the lifespan of your tires if they're not properly inflated.
It could mean the difference between getting to your destination and spending non-quality time in a snowbank. Bottom line, it's all in the preparation. It's like what old Ben Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Pack up those winter survival kits and keep them in your car. Winter isn't out to get you. It's just out to test your prep. Debbie Lozaga, WTMJ News.
Okay, so we brought this to you in news. The news today that the Oscars have found a future home. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has announced the award ceremony will stream on YouTube starting in 2029. So that means you're no longer going to turn on ABC to watch the Oscars. How do you feel about that?
You know, it's interesting. We were talking about this a little bit earlier when the news first broke, and I was kind of spouting off sort of the big ones, the Academy Awards, the Tonys, the Grammys, being on network TV, but also knowing that, you know, consumer habits are changing. We just saw the big Netflix purchase of Warner Brothers trying to bolster their empire. And, you know, we keep talking about and have for years, oh, network's dying, this, that, and the other thing. So it seems like this is just the expected outcome that we knew would happen at some point. We just didn't know when.
So numbers for award show, I think for the most part, have been dropping. So this doesn't surprise me. I do think it's the way we're going. I think a lot of people, too, especially a lot of women, tune in for that red carpet coverage ahead of time. I know a lot of times my girlfriends will be texting like, did you see this? Did you see that dress that she has on or this and that? That's a really popular thing. So knowing this, knowing that the Oscars will now be on YouTube, I think you've got some people wondering, will they still have that red carpet coverage? And indeed they will.
You know what I thought about also, when we see things shift from standard television or cable to a more kind of freewheeling world of online, could that lead to maybe some lightening of censorship guidelines? I was thinking of what's the biggest thing I remember from the Academy Awards in the last 10 years? And it's got to be Will Smith walking up
slap.
And laying the smackdown on Chris Rock.
That was bizarre.
Which, of course, you saw the quick editing, got to get the bleeps in. Could that theoretically air unedited in full form if it were to happen again? And how would that change how it's disseminated? It would be interesting.
The Oscars will be the first major award show to do away with broadcast television entirely, which also I think, you know, we're talking so much about the Oscars, but I also think this says something about broadcast television as well. I was trying to think back when something else, when we were talking about award shows and you were asking, is this the first one to do it when the news was first breaking? I was thinking there was something else, and it's not probably up in the tops. It's a little bit different, but at the end of the day, it is an award show to a point. The Miss America pageant. Remember years ago when Miss America decided it would no longer be on? And I remember this past year thinking, where is it? Like, where is it broadcasting? I actually had to Google it. I didn't watch it this year, but it was one of those things I was just looking up for our show to tell people the information. It's just kind of out there and it feels a little forgotten about now.
Which is interesting because I know people will opine and say, oh, I remember when it used to be relevant, but it is still relevant, especially when someone like Grace Stanky
is doing extremely well.
People want to know. We are proud of our own. So I think this is a different animal, though, because YouTube, unlike the site where Miss America now operates, everyone knows how to get a hold of YouTube. And it sounds like the Oscars will be free to access. You're not going to have a paywall yet behind this, but we'll see how that unfolds. There were other things that did not have a paywall at some point and now do.
I do agree with you when you brought up the point about we are so proud of our own. That's so true, especially here in Milwaukee, especially across the state of Wisconsin. I remember being a kid and watching the Miss America pageant, and I'd always be so excited to see Miss Wisconsin. But I don't know if some of you remember this. When they used to come out and every once in a while, like Miss America would or Miss Wisconsin would end up coming out in like a cow dress.
Yeah.
I remember a couple times like watching it with my dad and we'd be like, oh, man, like, did we have to?
You know, I was remembering my great aunt years ago would get so huffy when we would watch Packer games on TV and it would be a home game at Green Bay and all they would show were just shots of farms and hills, or when they would play at County Stadium in Milwaukee years ago, and they did the same thing, just showed hills and farms, rolling the eyes, like, we're more than just, we are proud of our cheese, and we're proud of all that,
proud
but
of the
we
cows,
are
yes.
more than this. Please.
But we don't have to have our women in a cow dress.
Yeah, we can move past
that. We're from Wisconsin.